Will the 6th District campaign ever end? A lawsuit filed in Fulton County Superior Court seeks to overturn the June 20th results. It calls Republican Karen Handel's victory into question, alleging a data breach at Kennesaw State University's Election Center compromised the entire process. That breach exposed the records of over 6.5 million voters. The center lost its contract with the state. This week, a new proposed restraining order will bar President Trump's Voter Fraud Commission from collecting data on Georgia voters. With me now is AJC reporter Christina Torres. Christina, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Christina. Look, I want to know if the state ever got to the bottom of the problem of what happened at Kennesaw. At Kennesaw State.
Well, I need to say that the center has not yet lost its contract. The state did say it was looking for alternatives, although right now it's status quo. They are continuing, and that's a 15-year relationship. That's not something that could unwind quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I do think state officials are concerned. We know security researchers twice, actually once before the presidential election and once after, were able to access records that should not have been accessible. And that is where the big concern was. I should add, there's no evidence that there was some sort of serious breach in that records were compromised. But I think those advocates who are questioning Georgia's system are saying you can't be sure.
But Christina, we still haven't gotten to the bottom of it, right? How the researchers were able to access the system, that's still an open question at this point?
Well, I think I don't think it's an open question.
Okay.
I think they're pretty sure there was a misconfigured server. That records they thought were secure were not, and that those who know how to do this kind of thing, and I'll raise my hand and say, this is not my area of expertise, but those who are know how to do these things were able to go in and find, essentially set up their computers to do a search and find these records that should not have been accessible.
Okay, gotcha. So after the alleged breach, the group verified voting. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about that group as well, because I think it's the same group involved in a couple of suits, but with the earlier suit, they were going by a different name. Verified Voting sent Secretary of State Brian Kemp a letter demanding officials use only paper ballots in the 6th district election. We want to hear from David Jefferson. He's a signee to the letter and that says Georgia's decade-old electronic voting machines are among the nation's most vulnerable to attacks.
There are far more ways than most people realize, and it's really impossible to defend against all of them proactively so that you can have confidence that there was no manipulation of the outcome of the election.
So, Christina, let's get to the nuts and bolts of this. I mean, how old are the electronic voting machines in Georgia?
So the electronic voting machines, which we all know because it's a touch screen, right? You point and get your vote picked on the screen. Georgia last updated its election systems, and it turned to those machines in 2002. So 15 years old.
15.
You know, the state comes and goes with parts. They buy parts. They, you know, reconfigure them to make sure it fits with the system. But it is an old system, and the key part of this is it does not have a paper audit trail. And cybersecurity experts especially say some of the questions that are surrounding the system right now could be eased a bit if there was some sort of paper trail, but it does not have that.
Okay, so to your knowledge, is that one of the agenda items for, I'm thinking, the next state legislative session, sort of updating where updates are needed, patching where patches are needed, updating software if that's needed?
I think it will definitely be on the agenda. In fact, Representative Scott Turner, this last session that was earlier this year, did file a bill that would encourage the state. In fact, it would require certain pieces of equipment bought after a certain time would have to have a paper audit trail. However, there's a lot of sort of bits and parts to go with this. It's a big financial undertaking to overhaul your election system.
Yeah.
And in Georgia, the mandate is it has to be uniform. And what that means is Alpharetta can't go and buy a certain election equipment that's not accessible to, say, someone in South Georgia. So that's why the state runs the election system and keeps track of the equipment to make sure it's fair, that voters in anywhere in the state have access to the same type of equipment. It's expensive. In 2002, it was at least a $54 million investment. So if you come forward to 2017, 2018, you're going to spend tens of millions of dollars to do this. However, you know, it should be said that experts recommend a newer system, something like the OptiScan units that absentee ballots are counted on. These are paper ballots that you fill in your choice of a candidate. They're run through a machine, but that is a paper audit trail because you have a paper yes. ballot to validate how you wanted to cast your vote.
So if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with AJC reporter Christina Torres. And Christina, this latest lawsuit, help me understand it here. It's claiming, am I correct here, that the Georgia system is completely vulnerable now and unreliable and should not have been used for this most recent election. And because of that, it wants Karen Handel's victory essentially tossed out?
It's questioning the security of these electronic machines. And as I said, we should add, there's no evidence that there has been some sort of breach. There's no evidence that the system has been compromised. But the lawsuit is about the possibility that you can, certainly in laboratory settings, go and play with the machines to make them cast a vote that was not the choice of the voter. And they say that's the concern, that because you have no audit trail where a voter can go back and say, yeah, that was my vote, that you're trusting the machine to be accurate. And state officials say they believe the machines are accurate. There's no evidence that they're not. But the group that's suing, and it's under the umbrella term of the Coalition for Good Governance, is saying you can't be sure.
Okay, so has John Ossoff, for example, has he challenged the results of the election? Has the DNC challenged the results of the election? How about the DCCC? Has anyone challenged, outside of this group, the results?
No, they have not. In fact, certainly Ossoff, has turned around and said he didn't have any problem with the system leading up into the election. I think obviously they were aware of some of the questions, but those sort of official groups have not challenged the result.
Gotcha. Christina, what is the latest, changing subjects a bit, just a little bit here, what's the latest on the request from the president's Election Integrity Commission for voter information from all the states, including, of course, Georgia?
Sure. That request is actually on hold.
Right.
They put out an email asking states to hold off on sending any information. And this, of course, is the information about voters that states keep on their rolls. It could be your name, address, things like that. They asked them to hold off because of one lawsuit, although I should add there are several lawsuits actually against this voter fraud panel. The one lawsuit they were asking folks to hold off on is seeking a temporary restraining order on the request anyway, and they're waiting for a federal court to rule on mm-hmm. that request, I think, before they go forward possibly with collecting the information. I should add, in Georgia, the public voter file, these are public records accessible to anyone in the public who requests them, require a payment of a $250
yes.
fee, and that's standard for everyone. Georgia has asked that voter panel to pay that fee. The panel has not yet responded to that request. So there was a question of when Georgia would send that information anyway.
Right. Okay. So after President Trump created this commission to collect voter data from states, a PBS NewsHour asked the chancellor's professor of law. And let me go slowly with this because there's a lot here. The chancellor's professor of law at the University of California, Irvine School of Law. His name is Rick Hassan, for his view on the request.
The president had said he wanted to look into the potential for voter fraud. There were a couple of Democrats on the commission who said that they wanted to look into Russian meddling. But mm-hmm. I'm concerned that it's going to be something that is just going to try to support the president's agenda, that claiming that there's a lot of voter fraud, and use that to make it harder for people to be able to register to vote.
So, Christina, what kind of information is available in this public file that you mentioned just a moment ago?
Well, it varies by state.
Okay.
And we should add that election systems in the United States, it's sort of a patchwork, which mm-hmm. can be a plus and a minus. But in this case, in Georgia, there's specific information available, such as your name, your address, what race or gender you may be. It may include when I say voting history, that does not include who you voted for, but that just says whether you participated in a certain election. In Georgia, you do not register by party, so that information would not be available, but the state does allow you to ask for a party-specific primary ballot. So if it's, say, the presidential primary, you ask to vote in the Republican primary, and so you can, if you would have been able to pick between, say, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, that information of which ballot you picked would be available. But again, I stress, the ballot is secret,
yep.
so they're not going to know who you voted for.
Is it safe to assume that clearing all of the roadblocks That Georgia's Secretary of State will provide this information to the commission looking into this?
The Secretary of State's office has said yes. It views it as a public records request, and it's not in the habit, it says, of denying that request based on politics or anything else. Again, it requires a payment of that $250
right.
fee, which we're waiting to see if the panel will do. But they have indicated they would share it. I do want to add, Georgia does have certain laws about privacy. So what will not be on that file would include your driver's license number, for example, or any part of your Social Security number that is private, and that would not be included.
Okay. And, you know, there are a lot of challenges to voter rolls across the country these days and seemingly over the last few years. If you're a voter in Georgia and you want to make sure that everything is buttoned up for you, we've got midterm elections coming up. What's the best way to go about doing that?
I think the Secretary of State's office certainly encourages people to go online. You can go to their website, sos.ga.gov, and there's something called the MVP site, and that is somewhere you can log in and correct any information about yourself and your specific voter registration. That can include address changes. That can include making sure your name is correct. Anything like that, I think that's an option that most voters would be encouraged to do,
mm-hmm.
Just, again, to be sure everything is correct. You know, and if you do have questions, you can contact your local county elections office. That's another option.
Okay, and what's the latest on maybe the most serious challenge right now to the voter rolls in Georgia, if you can button that up for me?
There are a couple different things going on. So there are certainly voter advocacy groups looking at the idea of how Georgia kicks voters off the rolls.
Right.
There's one lawsuit that a federal judge ruled in favor of the state. The state's system of cleaning up its voter rolls. And I should add, it takes years for a voter to get kicked off the rolls.
Okay.
And there's something that developed over the last few days where the ACLU of Georgia is looking at how local counties may contact voters who move within a county. So if you live in Alpharetta and you move to Atlanta,
yeah.
you're still within Fulton County. But Fulton County recently sent out notices to those kinds of voters seeking some sort of confirmation. And I know there's a question by these groups, at least, of whether that's something that's legal.
Christina, appreciate it. Thank you for your time this morning.
Absolutely, Tony. Thank you for
having
me.
Yeah, pleasure. That's Christina Torres from the AJC.